Thank you. On behalf of Dolores and the DeYoung family, welcome to all of you. Thank you for coming. As we gather here together with Dolores and her family, we give thanks to God, we worship Him, we praise Him for our God's grace, His love, His promises, for Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. We give praise and we give thanks. We have great hope in eternal life and salvation that Jesus has won for us through His death and His resurrection. He is our Savior, and He is the Redeemer that we call upon and give thanks to as we come together in God's presence today. And we're praying for you as a family. We love you as a family, and we know the Lord loves you, and we entrust all of you to Him and to His care, His many, many mercies, and His great compassion. Let's turn to our Blue Psalter hymnals, and you'll find those under your seats. And we're going to turn to number 439, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. And let's sing together the four stanzas, number 439. Together. Our eternal God and heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We thank you that gathered around your throne in glory is that great company of all of those who have believed in Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of faith, those who by your grace kept the faith, finished their race, and now rest from all of their labors. We give you praise and thanks that Marv has now finished his labors and by your grace kept his faith. And we thank you that you have now received him into your holy presence. Be merciful to us and help us here on earth to believe that which we cannot see, trusting in Jesus Christ who said, I go to prepare a place for you. And may it please you to bring all of your people at last into the joy of your eternal home through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing again from this time from number 427. I need thee every hour, and all the stanzas of number 427. Our gracious God is present with us every hour, every minute, every day. He watches over us and cares for us, and we know that He is present with us and still speaks to us through His Word. And so we go to His Word this morning for comfort, seeking for that great hope and joy that we have only in Jesus Christ, who is our Good Shepherd, who laid down His life for His sheep. Our first reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then from the Gospel of John in chapter 11, after the death of Lazarus, and Jesus is on his way, and Martha speaks to Jesus. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter on resurrection, where Paul gives assurance in this letter of the hope that we have today. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And then lastly, from Revelation 21, as John in the Spirit on the Lord's Day receives this vision of the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. And what Marv knows, at least in part now, but what we all look forward to knowing and living in fullness when Christ comes. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And so far the reading of God's holy word. And we also have in our Reformed Confessions in Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1, a word and summary of God's word on comfort. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. At this time, we're going to hear a recording of one of Dolores' grandsons, Seth Dykstra, singing When Peace Like a River.
The whole is nailed to the
It is well with our souls because of Christ, because he's with us, and he'll never leave us or forsake us, and none of his will ever be lost. We're going to sing together of that foundation that we stand upon, our God and his promises, number 411 in the Blue Psalter hymnal. And the words for this song are taken from the text of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning in Isaiah 43. And if you're able, let's stand together and let's sing all the stanzas here of number 411.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our gracious God, comfort, comfort your people. And surely your word has given us a firm foundation, a foundation in Jesus Christ, our Savior, a foundation in your grace and mercy, a foundation in truth, a foundation for life, and not just in this life, but for eternal life. For so you have chosen us unto eternal life, and so you have given us life through your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who ever lives and intercedes for us at your right hand. So let us, by your grace and through faith, hear the voice of our good shepherd speaking to us, his word of comfort and mercy, though we face trials and afflictions in this life. We belong to him, body and soul, according to the wonderful promise. For you say to your people, you are mine, and indeed we have been bought with a price. And so we are not our own, but we are yours. We are of your making, and we are the sheep of your pasture. Love us, Father, through your word, in speaking to us good words, good news of comfort and joy in Jesus our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 43 in the first seven verses. There are Bibles under your seats as well. If you are using one of those, the page number is page 603. So as I mentioned, we sung a song, number 411, How Firm a Foundation, which is based on these verses here, and the wonderful promise that God gives through his prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 43, the first seven verses of that chapter. And this is the word of the Lord. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And so far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. When I would ask Marv how he was doing, he wouldn't always answer this way, but sometimes he would say, better than I deserve. And I don't know if he got that from Dave Ramsey or if he came up with it on his own. I don't know if Dave Ramsey came up with it on his own. Maybe he got it from somewhere else. But Marv would say that with that glint in his eye, and he meant it. Better than I deserve. And whether it was talking about his health conditions, or whether it was talking about your family, or whether it was talking about anything, even casual conversation, how are you doing, Marv? Better than I deserve. And he really did mean it. And I thought about that in connection with this text because the promises that Israel gets here in Isaiah 43 and the promises that we get in this passage, better than we deserve. In the previous chapter, which we didn't read, the prophet Isaiah is coming to God's people with words of judgment because they were very sinful. They were covenantally unfaithful. God had been very clear with them how they were supposed to live. He's been very clear with us about how we're supposed to live. We know His law, we know His word, we know what He requires of us, and we don't keep it. And so in Isaiah's time, God was coming with His word and through His prophet to call the people to repentance and to faith and to return. God loves you, come back to Him. He's merciful and He's faithful and He's angry, but His anger is but for a moment. He's a God of steadfast love. And still, after all of those times of Isaiah pleading with the people, preaching the good news to the people, they remained stubborn. They remained rebellious. And so we might expect, and they probably expected, for chapter 43 to open up with something like this. Therefore, I will destroy you. Or therefore, this is the last straw. Better than I deserve. Right, because how many times have we committed a last straw? How many times for us could it have been the last straw as sinful people? Hundreds of times, thousands of times. And it isn't, is it? How does God open this chapter? Not, therefore, here is my wrath, but He says, but now. Sort of like Ephesians chapter 2 and 4 and 5. Some of my favorite words in the Bible, as our church knows, but God. We are dead in sins and trespasses. But Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 say, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, you have been saved. Better than we deserve. And God reminds Israel, and He reminds us, the reason why He's slow to anger and in steadfast love returns to His people. Because I created you, my people. And He uses the same word. This is very interesting. He uses the same word that's used in Genesis 1, verse 1. And we know that God created all things, the heavens and the earth, out of nothing. From eternity, He created a people for Himself, as it were, out of nothing. For no other reason than it pleased Him to do so. And He loves us. He decided, He chose to set His love upon us. And so He gives us these wonderful promises. Don't be afraid. Fear not, He says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And that pronouncement of redemption is so comforting. And a sinful people, a rebellious people, a hurting and afflicted people, as we are today, we need to hear that pronouncement of redemption. And the promises that follow. Fear not, I have redeemed you. You are mine, says God. You belong. Marv belongs. In body and soul, in life and in death. And this very pronouncement was made when Marv was baptized. He was baptized in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the promises that God would be his Father, that Christ's blood would cleanse him of sin, and that the Holy Spirit would dwell within him to make him holy unto the Lord. And we are privileged to have seen the evidence of that work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in Marv's life. A truly gracious, powerful, wonderful work that God did. And that same pronouncement we have now, even at death. Truly, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not life, with all of its complications, with all of its afflictions and trials, with all of our struggle against sin. Life doesn't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, but neither does death. And death seems final. Death seems powerful. Death seems to still have this great grip. We have to face its reality today, which can be fearsome. It can be sorrowful. It's a mix of all kinds of things. death hasn't taken Marv from you. Christ has taken Marv through death and brought him where he belongs, where he's always belonged, with the Lord. Death has become a servant. It has become the entryway for us to enter into eternal life. Death doesn't have any victory or any power. The grave is broken. Christ is risen. And our sins? Well, it is God who justifies. And it is Christ who died. And more than that, is raised and is seated at the right hand of God. When we face death, we face the reality of the power of Jesus Christ. We face the grace of this God who has said to us, "You are mine." God has written his name on you. And he will never, ever, ever let his own go. And from that pronouncement, there is a promise of mercy in verses 2 through 4. He talks about passing through waters and rivers, going through fire. Some of these are real for the people of Israel, and some of them are metaphors. For us, they're more metaphors. He's writing this or saying this to a people who are afflicted, they're oppressed, they're out of the promised land. And we're oppressed and we're afflicted as well. And maybe it's just the sorrow of death and mourning, the sadness, the heavy hearts. There's other afflictions and trials too. We talked about many afflictions and trials over life. Everybody has troubles. We might want to ask why. Sometimes we do ask why. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to go through this? Why is God doing this to us? And that question of why might prick us a little bit harder when we start looking at people in the world, which is what Israel started to do. They started looking at Egypt and they said, things go well in Egypt. They looked at Cush and Seba and they said, things go well in Cush and Seba. Why don't they go well for Israel? Why don't they go well for Jacob? Why don't they go well for us? And maybe some here, or some watching online, are still in Egypt and Cush and Seba. You're in the world and you're living for the world and it looks real comfortable and safe. And the world looks easy. And the world looks like it's got the world by the tail. And everything is going to be successful and fine. And it is not. This, in part, was a call to Israel to say, don't look to these other nations to try to help you. Don't look to the world. Don't try to find comfort there. Because you know what's going to happen? Egypt is going to be given up, and so is Cush, and so is Seba. They're going to be destroyed. The world is going to be destroyed. All of the things that are happening are for the sake of God's own people. So get out of Egypt, and get out of Cush and Seba, and don't look to them for help. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. These things will be given up as a ransom for God's people. Why does God put us through the afflictions and the trials? Well, he says it twice, to remind us of what's most vitally important in our lives. It's not the changing of the situation. You as a family cannot be comforted today if we somehow just throw a huge veil over the reality of death. Let's just pretend like it's not there. You know that it's there. We would be deceiving ourselves if we would say, it's just not a problem. We're just going to kind of push it aside, brush it aside, and pretend like this is not something we have to deal with. What we need is the reminder that Isaiah gives to the people of God twice here, and he says, the Lord is with you. That's what you need. And that's why he does these things. That's why we have to go through the afflictions and the trials, the fire and the floods and the waters, to draw us closer to God and to remind us again in these low points of life, God is merciful and he's with us. And he cares, and he loves us. He wants to train us in righteousness. He wants to teach us patience. He wants our trust in the Lord to grow very deep roots so we can be that fruitful, vital tree by the rivers of peace in Psalm 1 that grow and live for God. And it's important for us to remember the times when God shows mercy to us, because That helps us when the next trial comes. So think today about some of the other afflictions and trials and the other times that you have been tested in your faith. What did God do in those times? He used them to strengthen you. He used them to bless you. He used them to remind you that God is with you. He used them to draw you closer to God. And that is what He will do today also. And the next time, and the time after that, because you are mine, He says. And He has purposes for you. He has plans. He has good in mind for you, and He will bring that to bear. And the second promise here is of gathering in verses 5 through 7. Because of all of the oppression that Israel went through, and the rest of their history will bear this out, they get scattered. Israel gets thrown all over the place among all the nations. Some of them stay in Assyria. Some of them stay up in Persia. Some of them get spread out into even closer to Asia. And they're all over the place. And they feel like they're all over the place. They feel out of place. How in the world is God going to keep His promises when His people are scattered all over the place? Well, what happens when Jesus comes? And He comes to the Jews, and He gathers in 12 disciples, and they follow, and others hear Him and believe, and even some among the Gentiles hear Jesus, and they see His miracles, and they believe. And He begins that gathering of the people, saying to the north, give them up. You can't hold them anymore. They belong to me. Give them up. Now is the time. And He says to the south, don't hold them back. Don't restrict them. Don't hinder them. For to such is the kingdom of God. And He gathers them in. And then in Pentecost, and the Tower of Babel is completely overturned and undone. And through the different languages of the people, everyone hears the good news of Jesus Christ in his own language, and many, many, many more believe. And now even to us today, we who are Gentiles biologically, the good news has come, and we've been gathered. And we've been gathered in this life. We have been given the name of our triune God placed upon us, and all of the promises of God, His mercies, His love, His grace, the truth of His word. And then we await the day of Christ when He comes in triumph and glory. And I read this with the family before the service in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And that'll be the final gathering of all of God's people, Marv being among the first to see the face of the Savior, to hear the voice of command of Jesus Himself coming to gather His people to be forever with Him. That's what we wait for. That's what we hope for. That bodily resurrection when we'll be raised from the grave, our souls reunited with immortal, imperishable bodies, to forever be with the Lord. No more fear, no more sorrow, no more pain, no hunger nor thirst, no threat of evil or enemies. The sea will be gone, we read in Revelation 21. All evil in its realm will be completely destroyed, and there will be no death because there will be no sin. That day, that glorious day, that triumphant day, we yearn for, we long for, we are burdened to receive. Christ, come again. Christ, come soon. And gather your people from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. Bring them in so that the sons and the daughters of God will finally be brought home. Revelation 14. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with Him 144,000 who had His name and His Father's name written on their foreheads. Symbolically, all the elect of God and their home. Never to be scattered again. Never to be wandering again as we are in this wilderness land now. Home. Eternally home. joyfully, peacefully home. So Marv is exactly where he belongs. He is exactly where he was chosen to belong. He is exactly where he was made to belong. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, and by faith in our Savior, we too may join him in that very same place, in that home where we belong because of what Christ has done. Fear not, for I have redeemed you, says your God. I have called you by name. You are mine. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our gracious God, you have shown us so much mercy, better than we deserve. Our lives are filled with your blessings and benefits and goodness and faithfulness. And even now, in mourning and in sorrow, there is hope, because your word has told us so clearly that because of Jesus, our Redeemer, because of his life and suffering and death and resurrection, we too will be forever with the Lord. We thank you that Marv is with you in your presence, that his soul is with Christ, and that he will rise first when Christ comes again. And we long to join him in that resurrection. We look forward to that resurrection and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you give all your comfort and peace to Dolores and to her whole family, for Clarine and Doug and Donna and Gilbert, for Mardell, for all of the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. Give them the peace that surpasses all understanding, and the wonderful, glorious, gracious promise that you are with them. And may they know your wonderful presence through your Spirit and your word of comfort. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn again to the Blue Psalter hymnal, to number 454, Nearer, Still Nearer. And again, if you are able, let's stand together to sing the four stanzas, number 454.